And welcome to the latest edition of the TeachNet podcast. My name is Michael Hollisey and I'm stepping in for Cliff Brown today. Cliff is on the other side of the mic today. We have a very interesting podcast for you today. It's all about Web 2 and its implications for teaching and learning. With me in studio, I have Cliff Brown and I have Joe Malloy. And joining us on the telephones is Simon Lewis. So to start us off, Cliff, can you tell me what is Web 2?
I suppose, Michael, the essential difference between Web 1 and Web 2 would be in terms of what we can do as creators of content on Web 2. I suppose Web 1 is the traditional web that everybody is familiar with. It's often described as the read and listen web, where the websites are generally static and the user is just a user of the content rather than a contributor to the content. So Web 2 then brings in two other dimensions, really, which would be the ability to create something on the web. And we say it's the speak and write web. Okay. So now this is the extra element that isn't in Web 1. And then users of Web 2 are now creators of content rather than just users of content.
Okay, so it's more participatory than the previous web.
It's much more participatory. And the idea behind Web 2 is really to build community, a collaborative community who are creating some content that they want to share with other people. And we're bringing in this whole notion of audience, which maybe we don't get from the standard web.
And why would teachers or pupils, do you think, use Web 2?
Because of the creative dimensions of it, really. I suppose the biggest applications that are going to be used on Web 2 would be blogging and podcasting would be the two main ones. Of course, we're all familiar with social networking as a Web 2 application, and that has some implications for education also. And there's lots of other Web 2 based applications like website creation online, photo editing online that can be used also.
Okay. I'm going to bring in one of our practitioners. Joe, you might tell us a little bit about where you're teaching.
I'm teaching in St. Tractor's Senior National School in Meadowbrook, which is in Ballintir, Dublin 16.
And Joe, anyone who knows you will know that you've been using technology for a long, long time, but how are you using Web 2 in your own school?
Well, I suppose really at the moment we have our own podcasting studio. And before that, we always recorded media, but we had no way of actually distributing it around the world. So with the arrival of sort of syndicated, really simple syndication RSS feeds, it meant that we could send our stuff all around the world. So that was sort of the advent of us going online.
Tell us a little bit about the kinds of things you're podcasting, what classes are podcasting, and, you know, the kinds of projects you're involved in the podcasting.
Well, everybody's involved. Every teacher's involved. Essentially, our main focus at the moment is the Green Schools Initiative. So the children will be interviewing each other. Obviously, then it brings into other various things into play, like diction, syntax, the general presentation. It builds up self-esteem and general confidence, so every child wants to be there. The advantage that we have is that we've gone the whole hog, so they have to come down to our studio, which is in a disused toilet. We call it the blog in the bog. And they literally, there's a sense of occasion when you come in there, because they're facing big dual condenser microphones with pop filters on them and boom arms and things like that. So they're all trained on how to use the mixer and use Audacity. So by the time they leave sixth class, they more or less have a pretty good handle on how to do the stuff, you know.
Fantastic. We'll come back to that in a minute. Simon, I'm going to call you in. You might tell us a little bit about where you're teaching and how you're using Web 2 in your own school.
No problem. Hi there. I'm in a new school. It's Carlow Educate Together, a national school in Carlow Town. And we just opened up in September, and I'm the principal there. One of the first things I wanted to do in a brand new school was really to embrace ICT as quickly as possible. And we launched our website probably 6 months before the school even opened, and it was important to us that it embraced Web 2 technology. So it's based on a blog, the WordPress blog, which most of your listeners probably would be familiar with. We also we encourage the children to contribute as much as possible to the website, and we give time during the day for children to kind of put in their thoughts or to tell a little story about themselves. And at the minute, it's really working very well. Some of them would even contribute from home.
So you're using a blog for your school website?
Yes, yes. It doesn't really look like a traditional blog, but WordPress is one of those sort of blogging backends that can that's very, very. You can change it to look like your average school website, but the power behind it is there.
I mean, obviously, I had the the privilege on last Saturday of sitting in on your workshop in at the Computer Education Society of Ireland conference, and it struck me how easy it is for a school to actually create a website using a blog.
Well, this is it. I mean, I would argue it's the easiest way of getting a website out there. I mean, there's some software that would you know, boast that you can create a website in 5 clicks, but a blog you can do it in maybe 2 or 3. So I mean, and even posting stuff on the website is a matter of typing, pressing, clicking a button, and it's on the web just like that. It's it is fascinating how easy it is, and you can see a lot of schools really changing their actual traditional website and moving to a blog now.
And it's free, of course, which is always nice.
Well, that's always a plus, yeah. Always a plus.
Cliff, just coming back to you, Joe was talking about podcasting in the young children podcasting. How do you see podcasting being used, and how do you see it being of benefit to teachers, or do you? And, you know, have you seen some good examples of podcasting that you like yourself?
Yes, I have. You don't need to be any kind of an expert to be a podcaster, and you don't need any fancy equipment either. We've been using a product called Wild Voice in the schools in the Digital Hub area, and wildvoice.com is the website, and that's a free download, and it's very easy for children to use that because it comes with its own sound effects and everything. It's very compatible with their standard and gives very good results. The nice thing about podcasting, which is like making a little radio show, is that there are so many elements that can be brought into the learning. For example, one that was done in one of our schools on St. Patrick brings in areas of history. It brings in art, in that they were looking and painting things to go with it. They were storytelling, in that they had to script out the show that was developing their literacy skills. And then putting the whole show together with music and everything was a great challenge, and they loved it and enjoyed it. And then there's the ease of sharing it afterwards, which is critical. Whether they want to put it on the website or not, the school is irrelevant. These files would be MP3 files, which can be easily shared on mobile devices, MP3 players, iPods, anything like that. And that's what children really like, is that being able to give them to their friends and share them. So podcasting is probably one of the very easy ways to get into Web 2 applications. Blogging is, of course, as Simon was saying, also very, very easy. And I'd like to just say that a blog doesn't have to go on forever either. A blog can be a very short-term thing. It can just cover one little element of something that you want to have communication on. For example, one site I know that was in the United States was a duck with a blog, and just it only lasted a few weeks, where a duck visited the schoolyard and nested there, and then unfortunately it met a demise through some unforeseen circumstances, but the blog just lasted for that duration, and it was a lovely piece of work with children's artwork involved and everything on the blog. So you can blog for a long time or for a short time, or just around a particular area of interest. It doesn't have to be a whole school website.
Joe, I'm struck with the blog in the bog, the podcasting in the bog. But what other Web 2 tools are you using in the school, and or even yourself, from a professional point of view, that you find useful and would be a benefit in the teaching and learning?
Well, the school is actually a blog.
So, Simon.
Yeah. Well, sort of, we moved over about 3 years ago, but we had to revert because at the time, WordPress was changing so often, and there were security issues, so we decided to wait until it stabilised. It's a very stable platform now. But it means, for instance, that the vice principal on a Friday, whoever wins the Golden Boot Award for walking to school, she takes the photograph and 5 minutes later it's up on the site. For instance, last week it was eSafe Internet European Internet Safety Day, so we had it up on the site, and on Thursday the children were able to blog. Now, I know there's only about two or three of them that actually did it, but the facility was there, and we were able to put the notices up and say, this is your chance to say whatever you want to say, you know.
Yeah.
As regards the other tools I use Skype and Windows Live Messenger. For instance, when we got into the finals of the eTwinning award, we were the first school ever to podcast. So we arrived in Brussels. I should really preface all this by saying that I had been invited to go to Linz in Austria the year before to explain the whole idea of podcasting to people, and I didn't get one taker. And this was the inaugural eTwinning conference. But when we were wrapping up that day, we were closing down the stand, and K.O. Regan from Lergus said, look, get rid of all that stuff because you'll only have to pay carriage bringing it home. So we started giving out pens and everything like there was no tomorrow. And one of the last people to take a pen off me was a teacher from Malta. And that summer I decided I'll launch this project and see if anybody approaches me. And lo and behold, I get this one taker from Malta. And after about a week, we realised it was the person who had accepted the pen. Now, this is a good example of contrasting technologies. We were set up with a mini studio. She was working on a headset with a boom mic and the other end on a laptop. And I actually trained her online using Skype and Windows Live Messenger. She had received initial training in Malta, but I brought her through how to upload stuff onto WordPress, how to change it, how to actually do the blogging and so on. And it worked out in the end. I ended up going visiting Malta and so on. So brilliant. I have a lifetime friend there now.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Simon, from your perspective, what other Web2 tools do you find useful for yourself and for the pupils in your school?
Well, as a very new school, we haven't had a chance to embrace very much else, but we have plans to embrace podcasting and video podcasting in particular. We've actually just started a project this week where the children in my class will be are going to be creating a video for a video podcast, and we're kind of working on that. We're also thinking of embracing social networking with using Ning, but we need to, I suppose, talk about it and see how it works, because I realise there's there can be some issues security-wise with social networking and with younger children. So we're kind of in a sort of exciting position in the way that we have a whole the whole field open to us. We because we're so new, and anything that comes along, we're going to try and take it by the hands and run with it.
Brilliant. I might go back to you, Cliff, there, because an issue that's come up in a comment by Joe and again by Simon there is security. I mean, how secure are Web2 technologies, and particularly on the social networking? And could you tell us a little bit about some of the work you've done in that area?
Well, of course, internet safety is a major concern for everybody. And I have to say that most of the websites that we have worked with are very secure, and they allow the teacher to moderate and invite in their own audience so that they can lock down what they do, and it can only be available then to the pupils within the group who are using it. In terms of social networking, we've been looking at a website called imbe.com, which is a free site, and again, it requires a validated login, which is validated not just by email, but there's a credit card required also, even though you're not charged for it. And the teacher has full control there over what commentary goes on within the IMBE site with the children using it. And there are parental permission slips and parental involvement in that site. It's a very, very good one. We are also teaching children, by using those type of sites, something about social responsibility themselves, so that when they actually go to the more open sites like Facebook or Bebo, that they may have learned some social responsibility through using something like IMBE, or at second level, ePals is also another very good site for that type of work on social. So that's the issue around internet safety. The teacher really has to moderate what's happening and have control over what's going on.
I just want to get a shameless plug in here for another project that's happening at second level. Discover Science and Engineering have established a blogger project for science, which is called projectblogger.ie. So any science teachers out there, I'm sure you should check that out. Joe, coming near the end, and I just wondered, where do you see Web 2 going for yourself and for the school? What are your next plans?
Well, first of all, I'm just to carry on and continue from Cliff's point there, you have to have an overarching acceptable user policy, which involves consent forms, permission to, you know, to actually publish images, and you really can't move forward from there unless you have that. The other most important thing is to have the principal and the staff behind you. Now, I have a very forward-thinking principal, William Martin, and all the staff in the school, even if they're not interested in what I'm doing, they're always behind me. And when we, even though we didn't win the e-twinning thing 2 years ago, at their own expense, they brought me and my wife out to dinner because, you know, she's a digital widow, you know. So we were all brought out to dinner and they showed their appreciation. I really appreciated myself, the fact that I was working away on my own. Obviously, it's a cross-curricular tool, so you're pulling in all sorts of subjects. But it was great to have them on board, particularly the tour classes at the time, like Maria Dolan, Patricia Rafter, Evelyn Doyle. They all came in and did their bit, and it was a great success. So I'm quite happy. It's a whole school
thing. Absolutely. So you were seeing it on the whole school. And Simon, yeah, coming back to yourself, because, you know, where do you see it going? And are there any other tools? I know you're a new school and you're the principal and you have a lot going on, but where would you like to be going with this yourself?
Well, I see us hopefully keeping up with the latest technologies. I mean, even right now, we're kind of considering going on the this cloud technology that seems to be a buzzword around at the moment, where anything that we do is hosted very, very much on the web. So and Web2O really, you know, works in cloud computing very well. So we'll be looking at maybe using our own applications online and kind of you know, making sure that the whole community of the school is able to access IT. We're already introducing some of our computers into a parents' room, so the parents who don't have web access at home will be able to access our information and our website. And you know, we're kind of trying to work with the community mainly to embrace it. And once we have everyone on board, we're going to try and work with that and see where it goes. It's kind of it's a journey into the unknown, but we're kind of looking forward to it too.
Absolutely, and it's an exciting one. And I think that another element of podcasting and Web 2 that we haven't touched on at all is from a whole teacher professional development point of view, and maybe that's something we can come back to on another day. I myself have a whole list of podcast sites that I go to regularly for stuff, but well, for today, we're going to sign off, and I'd like to thank my guests, Cliff.
Sorry, Michael, just one last thing before you sign off. Yeah. People who want to learn more about Web 2, the TeachNet are going to have a summer course on Web 2 this year, and I think that'll be one that people could apply for. It'll be very interesting. It'll be an online course. And in the Digital Hub, the Elevate Learning Program also runs courses, and we can deliver a course here in the Digital Hub or in schools if they want on Web 2, and it can last an hour or 2 hours depending on what people would like.
Brilliant. Thank you for the reminder there. I'd like to thank Cliff, and I'm looking forward to having you back in this seat next week, Cliff. And thanks, Joe. Thank you so much for coming in. It's been a pleasure. And to Simon, likewise, for taking the time down in Carlow to join us. Thank you, Simon.
Thanks very much.
So for another time, we'll see you from TeachNet. Bye-bye.